There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
This is the Berman Project. Hey, it's JD here, back for another week of the Berman Project, a podcast that glances at my journey through mental wellness through the lens of David C. Berman's artwork, both songs and poetry. So there's that. It's a lot. So, trigger warning. Last time I got a little heavy. And I'm going to be honest with you. It was my heaviness that kept me away from the pod last week. And kept me away from the microphone this week until today. When I gathered the muster to throw on the cans and talk about shit. Talk about some shit that's been on my mind and that makes my mind mine. So there's that. It's been a whirlwind. I went camping for a week, then I went to a cottage for a week, and then I got back and I went to Quebec City for a couple of days. And as much as somebody shouldn't whine for having vacations, when your life is virtually a vacation, i.e., I have no work to go to, I have no social obligations, you know, I sort of meander, and that's tough, you know, that's tough. But so is everybody's life. And I don't want to put too fine a point on, you know, the woe is me, because I'll be honest with you, if woe were in the room with me, woe wants nothing to do with me, okay? Woe, I can't say woe is me. Woe would pinch its nose and say, ew, you know? I'm all over the place here. I'm trying to apologize, ultimately, is what I'm trying to do, because we do this together, you and me. I stand on this soapbox and you listen, and oftentimes you communicate with me and let me know what you're thinking. And that's helpful, because it's no good to think that we're in this alone, or that what we're experiencing is so unique that no one else could possibly understand. And yet, I think oftentimes that hypnotizes us into some sort of complacency about sharing. And it's important to share. The catchphrase of my first mental wellness podcast was, encourage courage. And that means, you know, to try and do something courageous, oftentimes you need to be inspired or you need to be encouraged. And it all sounds so trite, doesn't it? God, I don't like the sound of my own voice. I don't like what's forming in my brain right now and is going out on this microphone. This is really fucking hard. This is real hard. And yet I want to do it. I want to continue to do it. And so I will. And we're going to do it by listening to David Berman's music. We're going to read his poetry. We're going to celebrate him as a person, as an artist. And we're going to mourn him. We're going to mourn him and the legacy, the shortened legacy that was left behind. I have no doubt about it. Had he found a way to carry on, and I don't judge him for not carrying on, but had he found a way to carry on, I have no doubt that that Purple Mountain tour would have been a staggering success. And he would have been once again given that shot in the arm that, holy shit, people do appreciate what I'm doing. That for some reason there was a disconnect and he didn't get that vibe. Watching the Silver Jew documentary, you see him just energized being among people. He is somebody who, while he may have been an I on the Myers-Briggs, an introvert by definition isn't necessarily somebody who wants to be alone. There's somebody who recharges when they are alone. And an extrovert is somebody who recharges in a group of people. And it almost felt as though he were an extrovert in that regard, where I would have pinned him as an introvert. Now, I don't know, and hopefully at some time we'll get a chance to talk to somebody who did better experience his existence here in this mortal coil. I don't know, but that would be cool to get a handle on, and maybe we'll get a handle on that by listening to his music and by reading his poetry. You know, maybe he left us something behind in that more than an artistic legacy, but the legacy of David Craig or Cloud Berman. So there's that. I just got off the phone with my therapist and we had a real good session, which is part of the reason why I'm able to, you know, pull myself together today and do this. Another part is this delicious IPA I'm drinking. It's Collective Arts number 22, and it's a 23. Let's just put it that way. It's a fucking 23. You know, one of the things that I talked about with her the last time was my experience with the mantra, I'd rather quit than fail. And we dug in a little bit on that today, and it reminded me of another sort of guiding wisdom, set of wisdom that I heard years ago. And it was, why bother searching for perfection when you're making successful mistakes? And by God, I think there's something to that. You know, I think I've made a lot of successful mistakes. And as a result, I've numbed myself to search for any better than those, you know, mistakes. And coupled with an attitude of quitting rather than failing, it's like you can see why I bailed last week. Or I can, right now. Boom, that just hit me in the head like a fucking steel chair. Whoa. Yeah. I was hiding out from me and from you. I didn't necessarily feel as though going as deep as I went last time was constructive this early on. I also have really failed and continue to struggle with my physiological health maintenance, you know, my running program that I set course to do that I've now done 5 times in a month and a half. You know, I'm supposed to go out today. I'm not going out today. I know that right now. I know I'm not going out. So I feel like I've let you down, you know, because this is a journey to wellness. But it's important to remember that a journey, progression isn't measured linearly. Like it looks like the S&P 500 over the last 5 or 6 days, you know, if you were to just look at it. It's real bumpy. Or these sound waves that I'm looking at right now. It's real bumpy. There's going to be some downs. And it's important to find a way to persevere through those downs so that you get to experience the ups where you have the wherewithal to work through some of your shit in a way that you can't when you're spiraling out of control and trying to find a place underneath your bed to hide from fucking everything. So there's that.
low, but I stuck it out, man, cause I knew they was right. And by 1969, I was moving with the bad boys in Jerusalem, in the old city right next to you, the great old mosque, and those motherfuckers on the world war, they deserve everything they got, man. I found rocks in them, and I danced with the devil all night.
Okay, so that song fades out. Does that mean my theory is correct? That song is going on forever. And I don't know. I think they would have run out of words. What would end first? What would happen first? You can't answer that question. That's a brain teaser. But if you come up with an answer that might be entertaining to me, send me an email, jd@mediumalchemist.com. I don't have a JD at the Berman Project email because I'm dumb. I guess I could just probably have opened one on Gmail or something. But I didn't. So I'm using the Medium Alchemist's email. So shoot me an email there if you've got an answer to that, their brain teaser. Because that song is a bit of a brain teaser, right? I mean, close your eyes as you're listening and you can see cells multiply. They split, they multiply, they split, they multiply, they split. It goes from 2 to 64 in a blink of an eye. And next thing you know, you're shedding a tear over a million cells have been formed. This song is, you know, so early stages of things. There's a fine guitar line, you know, it's fine. The percussion is there, you know, to sort of just, you know, do its own thing, bang out its own rhythm. I don't see it as timekeeping in this instance. But I am by no means, somebody who should be making any critical judgments of music, as I am uncool and underqualified. But there, I just did it. I just did it. I said it doesn't sound like it's keeping time to me. It just sounds like it's enjoying itself. Like it's just finding some space to fill. And I like that. And then there is, you know, this vocal, this vocal line, and you get some Malcolmisms that, you know, like, gosh, how do you even say this? Like finishing a line and then adding a line like immediately after, like without even a breath, like you're almost singing backup of your own vocal. I find that's something that he does in a really cool way on a lot of early stuff when he's like just sort of riffing and making stuff up. That's something that I hear. And this is what I hear in this song. But by no means do I think that this is like a song proper when all elements are glued together. It's not for me. And that's fine. Some people really dig this stuff and some people don't. And I fall into the don't camp. There's going to be a lot of material we hear on this podcast that is going to be divisive. And maybe this will be one of them. I don't know. It's just not my style. If this were my first introduction to Silver Jews, I would be missing out on the Silver Jews and that would suck. But this wouldn't be something that I would, you know, put in the science fair as it were. I don't know. What do you think? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I should shut up about my life and stop talking about music because I suck at both. Let's read a poem. This is from Actual Air, and this is called Governors on Somonex. It had been 4 days of no weather, as if nature had conceded its genius to the indoors. They'd closed down the Bureau of Sad Endings, and my wife sat on the couch and read the paper out loud. The evening edition carried the magic death of a child backlit by construction site sunrise on its front page. I kept my back to her and fingered the items on the mantle. Souvenirs only reminded you of buying them. The moon hung solid over the boarded-up hobby shop. PK was in the precinct house, using his one phone call to dedicate a song to Tammy, for she was the light by which he traveled into this and that. And out in the city, out in the wide readership, his younger brother was kicking an ice bucket into the woods behind the Marriott. His younger brother, who was missing that part of his brain that allows you to make out with your pillow. Poor kid. It was the light in the things that made them last. Tammy called her caseworker from a closed gas station to relay ideas unaligned with the world we loved. The tall grass bent in the wind like tachometer needles, and he told her to hang in there, slowly repeating the number of the job info line. She hung up and glared at the Kilbank sweet shop, the words that had been running through her head. Employees must wash hands before returning to work, kept repeating, and the sky looked dead. Hedges formed the long limousine a Tampa sky could die behind. A sailor stood on the wharf with a clipper ship, reflected on the skin of a bell pepper he held. He had mouthwashed at the inn, and he could still feel the ice-blue carbon pinwheel spinning in his mouth. There were no new ways to understand the world, only new days to set our understandings against. Through the lanes came virgins in tennis shoes, their hair shining like videotape, singing us into a kind of sleep we haven't tried yet. Each page was a new chance to understand the last. And somehow, the sea was always there to make you feel stupid. That was Governors on Somonex. So there's a lot to unpack here. Governors on Somonex. Somonex is a sleeping pill. Governors could be heads of state, or, you know, the line about the tachometer needle made me think of like the governor in an engine that a manufacturer would put in to, you know, keep it from, well, if you want to be pessimistic about it, you could say keeping it from its full potential, right? I don't know. What a beautiful poem. Just like there are some lyrics in there that if you could have heard the outtakes of me reading this poem into the microphone, I gave you a clean cut. And I don't know, should I give you a clean cut or should I just read it live? I think I should give you the clean cut. That's what I did. Because had I read it live, there were a couple lyrics where you would have heard me like have a braingasm, you know? I think the one that just absolutely killed me was hedges form from the long limousine a Tampa sky could die behind. Oh, man, that is gorgeous. That is just gorgeous. Fuck me. Yeah. You know, you've got the first two, if you see the way that this is structured, there's like I'll call it a verse. It's five stanzas, or is it seven stanzas? It depends on the way you look at it. And then a parenthesis break, or not a parenthesis, an asterisk break. And then it goes into a second that is again in no way related structurally to the first. It's really open. It's really open poetry. And it's lovely as a result, you know, not having to fucking do a card trick to tell a, you know, an artistic story. Not that I'm shitting on rhyming couplets, but come on, more like fuplets. To me, the last line of each of those first two, I'll call them verses, are related to one another. You hear that souvenirs only reminded you of buying them, which is fucking like a, that's great. That's a real powerful statement. You know, on the commercialism, on the consumerism, just buying shit for the sake of buying it. I'm really against souvenirs. It's something I don't, you know, I'm not big on. So, but then at the end of the second verse, it says, it was light in things that made them last. It was the light in things that made them last. And that to me feels, like related to that previous one. It feels related to the idea of a souvenir. You know, it's not the actual tangible item, but it's the light in the thing that makes it last. And that's your memory to me, you know, that's where I go. I could never in a million years think to dissect this and come anywhere close to anything, but I can just pull apart lyric and I can say, this is gorgeous. This is the beginning of, you know, just a long line of really great work by somebody who is an incredible artist. And we're so fortunate to have had access to when we did. And I hope that I can continue to celebrate that on this podcast and you'll join me on this journey. And, you know, put your hand on my shoulder and we'll fucking make this work. We'll figure it all out, you know? So that's what I got to say. So be good. Take care of yourself. Wash your goddamn hands. The Berman Project is a production of Duvra Podcasts and Such. You can find out more about the show at www.thebermanproject.xyz. That's right. I'm fucking Canadian. I'm also social. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, and all the rest at Berman Project.
Duvra Podcasts and Such.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.